The local chapter of a national organization is bringing together spirituality and sustainability in an effort to raise green awareness through the faith community. Mac Mayfield, co-chair of Arkansas Interfaith Power and Light, explains a bit about the background of the organization.
It began in California about 12 years ago, and it was an effort to bring green renewable energy to churches. And if you'll remember, California had some problems with energy, and they had to shift their mission a little bit. But since then, it's grown. It's Arkansas was the 30th chapter. Its mission statement is to be its people of faith, working to combat climate change and for the environment. And that's a pretty general mandate, but that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And it seems that the politicians are having a hard time getting energy policy right. I remember 1973 when they had the Arab oil embargo, and things have not changed that much since then. And the economy has not been able to get the incentives right to get us onto renewables. So take a crack at it from a theological and moral standpoint. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try and do. And involved in, as in caring for creation, you know, if you read Genesis, the first, some of the first words are have dominion over the earth and take responsibility for it is how I hear that call. And so we're trying to do that, advocating renewables and energy efficiency, and do that in churches and for the congregants. And then there's the issue of social justice. The impact, energy is very regressive in terms of its impact on people and their costs. People have to choose between heating and eating. What a terrible thing in this day and age. So Arkansas is the 30th chapter. We started getting organized in 2009, end of 2009. Last year we did a lot of housekeeping, got our 501c3 paperwork. It was a very active group down in central Arkansas and now up here in northwest Arkansas.
The chapter received a grant that has enabled them to hire an Arkansas Energy Corps member, helping them carry out their mission. For member Karen, the opportunity is perfect, combining two of her strong interests, spirituality and sustainability.
Really kind of combines two very strong interests of mine, that of the whole spirituality part as well as sustainability. And so, you know, I felt really fortunate in being able to have this position offered to me and to take it further. And, you know, so it's really allowed me the time and motivation to really study those two things more in-depthly than I had been in the past. So it's a great opportunity. So, you know, it's been a great thing for me. I've been reaching out to churches, contacting different churches and talking to whoever will talk with me, facilities managers, put people on social justice committees. If there's anybody in their congregation that is interested in any kind of green issue, those are the people that I've been talking to. And just trying to help churches get motivated to implement that whole responsibility that churches have in terms of caring for creation and implementing a way that is tangible and really kind of looking, helping churches look at becoming more energy efficient and better yet how to implement renewable energy at their churches, at their facilities, as well as with individual congregants, that this Interfaith Power and Light is not just talking to churches, the facility, but churches as a whole, that the church as well as the congregants in the church. So it's a all-encompassing kind of message that we bring.
Though Karen's professional background is not in energy efficiency, it has always been a part of her life.
I grew up in Hawaii, where care for the land is such an integral part of my upbringing, that whole part of aloha aina, the love of the land, is something that is sort of, it's in my blood. And so that when I talk about caring for creation or caring for our land, I come from it from a personal, very much a personal point of view, that we really need to take care of the land, that it has taken care of us. We need to reciprocate in taking care of the land. It has given so much to us, and we need to passionately care for it.
For Mac, his interest is both professional and personal.
Well, I'm an engineer, so I do have that energy efficiency background, and I really think that back in 73, when I couldn't get home for Thanksgiving because there was no oil, it really impacted my outlook on the world. I couldn't believe that something as basic as gasoline was so precarious. And it really influenced what I've done over my career. I've always been interested in energy efficiency.
While listening to Karen and Mac, a shared theme or passion can be heard: caring for creation. And those are just the words that they are trying to spread.
Glad to be able to make my my spirituality and my profession kind of meet up. It's not something I'd had a chance to do before. I'd always been interested in the environment and interested in religion and a Christian. It was Interfaith Power and Light that really helped me sort of cross those two paths. And I think that it's a basic caring for creation, leaving the world better than we found it. Those are really tenets of Christianity, to my way of thinking. And I'd never been able to connect to those in the church, but found it through this organization and a group of people that were really committed to that, and it sort of feeds on itself.
The number of churches in the area and the country is astounding. All of those buildings must be heated, cooled, and lit up. The energy savings potential is huge.
There's 300,000 churches in this country. The average is about 10,000 square feet. So that adds up to millions of square footage of buildings, and it's all taken care of by volunteers, or a large percentage of it is. So there's a lot to do there in terms of internal housekeeping. And it's not just energy, it's waste, and we seem to have a lot of energy in the congregations that we've talked to about recycling, mm-hmm. Not using styrofoam, composting the coffee grounds. A lot of coffee gets drunk at church, and some gardener will be glad to take that home and amend their soil with it.
On a local level, Interfaith Power and Light visits churches and attempts to find members that are already interested in sustainability and uses them as a tool to form green teams within each church.
We're looking actively for other people in the community who are in churches who might be the recycling Nazi, or you know, the people who are thinking about those things. It's a sort of a odd calling sometimes, and so we're searching for the green teams in churches. I go to St. Paul's, and we've had a very active green team for several years. That's where a lot of the energy for Interfaith Power and Light comes from. It's already out there in the congregations. We're trying to help network those and share best practices and get the word out.
Interfaith doesn't limit their outreach to traditional faith groups, but also reaches out to all denominations. Karen shares a recent success story.
This past weekend, I gave a presentation to some Quakers from Oklahoma and Arkansas, and there are about 40 in the group, and we talked about the moral responsibility and how that connects with Quakerism, as well as sort of the nuts and bolts of energy efficiency. In many ways, I thought I was going to be talking to the choir, because you know, I think about Quakers as being cutting edge, already into that simplicity and all that stuff, and yet still some of them had a lot of questions about, you know, energy efficiency and just the basics of it. And so we talked about that. I have confidence that a lot of them are going to go home and start doing some stuff.
The ultimate goal for MAC and Arkansas Interfaith Power and Light is to bring a different outlook to energy efficiency. A moral standpoint rather than an economic one.
To waste energy is really sinful because of the great costs that it takes, whether it be monetary or on the environment or on people. So to be good stewards is so important, and that's what we seem to have lost sight of. A lot of it goes back to economics. You know, if you were to take the portion of the defense budget that takes care of the Middle East and protects our oil supply, gas would cost $5, $6, $7 a gallon, and people would treat it completely differently. So trying to bring that moral component to all of that is really important, because it's not just economics and it's not just politics. It's what kind of world will be here in 100 years. You know, if we do as much damage in the next 100 as we've done in the last, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren will have a much poorer existence as a result.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.